Hello, listeners. Elise and I are so happy to be back breaking down the rest of season two of And Just Like That. We're going to be returning to our weekly format, but we will be releasing next week's episodes early on our Patreon feed. You should already be able to find it there, and if not, it'll be up in a matter of hours. So check out what we're doing there. Here's a little ad. Mike here. Quick note. If you enjoy listening to Elise and I break down episodes and films on this podcast, you should know we have an entirely separate podcast through Patreon. There we break down New York City-based rom-coms like When Harry Met Sally, You've Got Mail, Hitch, Trainwreck, Bros, and many more to come.
I think that we should yell at children more often. Not parents. Parents, be nice to your kids, but the rest of us should sometimes take children out to task a little.
I never yelled at a child, but I did have an arch nemesis who was like 8 years old. Like, hearing you talk about it, I'm like, well, then why would they do all that for just that moment? But then you think about it, and if they didn't, it would look like the movies I made in high school with my friends. We're really, really concerned about the bottom line of Bros.
I really am. I feel like we've already found ways they could have saved money on the budget.
Right.
If they just would have asked us about it.
For $4 a month, you get 3 to 4 episodes monthly covering a rom-com, and we're doing some fun bonus content as well. You can find us on the Patreon app by searching We Couldn't Help But Wonder, or through our website, wecouldn'thelpbutwonder.com. Hope you join us there. Hey, Elise Castle.
Cello, Mike Jensen. That's in reference to what we're about to talk about.
All right. Oh, yeah. Okay. I mean, it sounds vaguely familiar.
Aiden just says cello, which reminds me of in School of Rock when I want to say Adam Sandler, and it's so wrong. Jack Black comes in and he's like, cello, because they have the cello.
You know, I never saw that movie.
Oh, it's so good. You really would like it.
I saw the Broadway musical, but
yeah,
I did not
I saw
see
that,
film.
But I also think you should see the movie.
I do love Joan Cusack.
Mm-hmm.
But we're not here to discuss School of Rock today. We're here to discuss There Goes the Neighborhood.
I took the wrong notes.
Uh-oh. So There Goes the Neighborhood. This debuted August 10th, 2023, directed by Julie Rottenberg, written by Julie Rottenberg and Elisa Zaritsky. This is Julie Rottenberg's intro to direction.
Welcome.
Yeah, I guess it's something that she'd been interested in, and she was very encouraged by Michael Patrick King to give it a go, that he thought that she'd be a natural at it, but did sort of direct her to put down her writing cap, to not think about the script as much as think about the visual, to not get too caught up in what she had written, which is interesting advice, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And we open with Carrie in bed at Che's.
And then Aiden comes in and says, cello.
And he's here to check the meter.
Yeah, and he needs to shower flight 756 off him, so we realize that he has just flown in. People have very strong feelings about showering after flights.
Yeah, it's not something that I feel the need to do.
I mean, I definitely don't wear the same clothes that I wore on the plane, and a lot of times I will take a shower, but sometimes I'm just exhausted. And I'm wondering, like, am I disgusting?
But you were just sitting in a plane.
Right. And I think also, like, we live in New York City, and it would be like we would have to shower every time we got home because we were sitting on a subway. I don't wear subway clothes on my bed, though.
I probably, well, I don't know. I don't get into my bed very often with my clothes.
Hmm.
But then again, I mean, you live in a studio, so your bed's kind of right there.
Yeah, my bed is everywhere. My bed is my apartment.
It's also a very short flight, but whatever. It's been a long week.
Mm-hmm.
And he broke the ice with the doorman, and we kind of get into like, no, you're not supposed to talk to people.
Right, you're supposed to be invisible. And he says, don't worry, he's also chatty McOver tipper guy.
Yeah, which I guess is nice, but I'm also, I don't know.
I had the same feeling where I was like, okay, it's nice that you're giving people money that you tip, like that you're giving extra tip. But sometimes I get annoyed because I think as service industry people, we're used to people kind of like treating us shitty and then being like, but don't worry, I'm going to give you a lot of money.
And it's usually the ones that say it that don't.
Yeah, and they don't. But they'll be like really mean and rude. And then they'll be like, but I'm a good tipper. And then
yeah, don't worry, I tip well. And
yeah,
I'm like,
and
okay,
it just kind of is demeaning to say to someone.
Yeah.
That's all.
So we kind of have a conversation about the boys and how Wyatt isn't buying what she's selling.
Yeah. And the response is he's 14. And then he FaceTimes, or Wyatt FaceTimes, and Wyatt is angry because Aiden didn't call him right away. And we get the sense that Wyatt is an angsty, anxious teen with angsty teen hair. He also has very angsty teen hair.
Yeah. And someone's at the door, and Aiden is in his tidy whities. Is it just the tidy whities? Because here's the thing. He's in very good shape, like just about like the best you could possibly hope for at that point in life. But there's just something about him and his tidy whities that I'm like, I don't know, maybe try a boxer.
Yeah, I think the point is to show off the body. I mean, Carrie's also in a see-through house dress, so I don't know who's in, like, the most appropriate loungewear at the moment. But yeah, there's a pounding on the door, the yelling of building management, and they slip something under the door. And it's a notice that says the tenant has exceeded the 30-day guest policy.
Yeah, I did write that as they're knocking on the door, they do what I do, which is just to be quiet and hope that the person goes away.
Yeah, it's so funny. You know, I'm always so nervous with any interaction. When I lived in Queens, my landlord was like family. Like, he loved me. I'd lived there for so long. And anytime he knocked on the door, I got terrified. I don't know what he could tell me, but I was just terrified. I mean, you're kind of the same way when you get like letters.
Yeah.
You're like, I don't want to open this. I'm like, it's your lease renewal. You have to.
Yeah. I'm constantly just certain I'm going to be evicted at any moment. And, you know, he still won't go back to her place. And
yeah.
I guess I've just decided to make peace with this storyline, even though I think it's kind of ridiculous.
Yeah. Now they have nowhere to live unless you come back to my nope. All right. There we go.
I'm not going back there. I'm like, nothing really all that bad happened in that apartment.
Yeah, your life was ruined, but get over it.
No, his life wasn't ruined. His life, like, they had a breakup. Like, it's not like someone died there. I don't know. It's a bit much. But once again, we go with it. And now we get to New York Style at its very best. And Ryan Serhant, being played by Ryan Serhant. Am I saying his name right?
I think you're saying his name right. He is best known for being an actual real estate agent and the star of Bravo's Million Dollar Listing New York. So this is one of those Sex and the City moments where they're using an actual New York personality to play the part.
Yes, which they do like to do from time to time. Mm-hmm. And this works more for me because he's not a major, sometimes, I think that I've mentioned that before, that sometimes it's like a big celebrity, I get a little like distracted by the storyline, but because he is just sort of like a reality guy and is known, but isn't like, you know, Drew Barrymore, like these moments work better for me.
Right. You wouldn't actually know it unless you watch the show or you are like us and looked on IMDb.
Right. And Robbie's on the phone arguing and he thinks the place is and we do find out the place is $37,000 a month.
Right, but Robbie's kind of let us know and he wants the most expensive place.
Sure. And when she asks him what the problem is, he says that Giza is too hot in September and Bangkok is too wet. Basically, it's about filming and he's not able to film what he wants to film. And she calls him a cut-rate Spielberg.
Rude. Yeah, but he wants the best New York has to offer. And Seema says she's offered him that 5 properties ago. But, Mike, if he would have taken that, then he couldn't spend this time with her.
Okay, can I be too serious for a moment, maybe?
Sure.
Because this feels wildly inappropriate. This is her job. Like, this is her livelihood. And he's wasted that much time in an effort to be romantic. I don't like storylines like that. And I don't like that her response is thinking that it's romantic. It feels like deeply problematic to me.
Well, I think that Sex and the City, when it comes to these outrageous storylines, the Samantha character usually has them. I think Seema's kind of taking over that role. I mean, how many things did Samantha do in her office that were not appropriate or, you know, conducive to her getting the deal done? And, you know, and we are lucky because Seema does come back with a very practical answer, and that is to just have sex in this house that no one owns. You know, and I'm wondering,
totally fine.
Yeah, and it's not their apartment. And a few things. I mean, this apartment probably isn't currently being habited by the owners. But either way, you're having sex on, like, the real estate company's staging pieces.
Yes.
Or, worst case scenario, they do still live there, and now you've just had sex in their bed. But Ryan comes back, and Seema comes down looking very, very disheveled. She kind of looks in this moment with her robe and her hair and the way she's talking like Miss Hannigan and Annie when she's
sure
opening little girls. And she just says he'll take the apartment.
Yeah, and we do what we have to do to close the deal. I don't know. It's fine. I get that it's funny, but part of it does bother me just a little bit.
Mike is living in realism today.
I know, I shouldn't. I'll try to snap out of it.
Snap out of it!
That's a callback to not this podcast.
But our other podcast.
Yes. So we're on 42nd Road and 27th Street. I don't really get how the outer boroughs work.
Yeah, I have Brady and Miranda are walking through what is probably supposed to be Brooklyn, but it's actually Long Island City in Queens.
And that's Olive's Organic Market on the right. And it's Queensboro Bridge in the background. And
yeah.
I wrote, I believe Carrie once dated a jazz guy right near here.
Carrie likes the jazz.
Carrie likes the jazz. It was like literally right around the corner here.
Yeah.
So we have Miranda and Brady having a cup of coffee and her asking if he has any fun plans tonight.
Yeah, he has to work a double shift at Scout. She asks what that is, and I'm thinking, let me tell you all about a double shift, Miranda. It's where you work two shifts in one day. But Miranda was a lawyer, so I'm sure she's worked plenty a long, long shift in her life. I am a little bit confused as to what time of day it is, because if Brady's going to work a double shift tonight, he would have to get in there, because that means like two shifts, lunch and dinner.
Yeah, I'm going to guess the bar opens around like 11 or noon, maybe. Okay. They probably just open super early. We're going to get into some very confusing stuff with Scout, though. We've only begun to scratch the surface of my questions about Scout.
Okay, well, Miranda wants him to do the summer program in Costa Rica. She wants him to go to school and figure out his path. But he comes back with a sick burn about Miranda
It's pretty.
He's like, you didn't figure out your path until you were 56.
Yeah, so give me another 38 years.
Do you see how fast you did that in your head? Math has always been your best subject.
Mom, you gotta back off.
I know. I'm sorry. I will.
I wrote, this is so passive aggressive, it's painful. Mostly on her part. He comes back pretty aggressively.
Yeah, but she seems to have some lightness around all this.
Yeah, she's trying to not be too serious about it and kind of just saying, like, I just want you to have options. And, you know, he says that she's got to back off and she says that she knows.
Yeah. And now she's on the phone with Charlotte. And she has this brilliant idea to have Lily talk to Brady because she doesn't want him to make French fries for a living. Excuse me, Miranda, that is very important work.
I was going to say, is there a greater calling?
Yeah, and also what I'm concerned about here is Charlotte is walking through the front door carrying this food and there's only one pizza. And we will find out there's more in the other bag, but if that's to feed the whole family, that's not enough.
And I did write down the line, not knowing where this storyline was going, rub off on him.
Yeah.
it seemed like interesting wording to me. Yeah, and Charlotte wants to know why the guy from Grubhub was there, that they agreed only once a week, but Charlotte was late and Harry is in crisis, so Rock was in charge.
Yeah, it turns out Rock ordered the food and maybe overordered, and I was thinking, Rock, let me teach you a lesson about over-ordering.
Yeah.
Until you order for yourself and they pack like 8 sets of silverware, you're doing fine. And Lily has a banana pen. That's all.
And we find out a few things here. We find out that Harry is planning a Meet Herbert Wexley event and that the caterer is maybe using real pork because Cy Hoffman's wife, Sis, says they're too delicious to be kosher.
I have a question for you. Were you able to get through this episode about kosher caterers with not thinking of falsettos?
I just don't know falsettos that well.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Because it's a very, yeah. Anyway.
Gotcha. I saw it one time. I saw the revival. So I don't, yeah.
Okay. Well, Betsy Wolf in that revival was trying to be a kosher caterer.
Gotcha. Lily is helping because Charlotte was late. And didn't we just cover in the last episode that Charlotte might be late at work?
Yeah, but I think now we're just trying to show, and we see this also with the other gentleman, that, you know, maybe it is affecting him that Charlotte is late.
Yeah, he's throwing a bit of a fit, and it's 7:30, and we have tacos, pasta, pizza, and edamame. Okay.
So there definitely was some multi-restaurant ordering there, unless
yes,
they got
sure.
a one-size-fits-all place. But and then Richard Burton looks up and is like, hmm?
You just love everything that Richard Burton does.
Richard Burton is really a... He should be studied. Yeah, and Charlotte is trying to convince Lily to hang out with Brady in Brooklyn, to convince him to go to college. And then we hear again that 14 is a tough age.
Okay, but quickly.
Yes.
Have we ever, ever indicated that Scout is in Brooklyn? It's on Mulberry Street, which is downtown Manhattan. I'm so confused in this moment.
Oh, see, I didn't catch that because I thought that she was just saying going to Brooklyn to hang out with him because that's where he lives.
I feel like she specifically says the line, going to visit him at Scout in Brooklyn. Like, I'll listen to it again, but I was so thrown by this line.
Well, she does say that he'd give her free French fries, which would probably happen at Scout.
Yeah,
and I would do it for free French fries.
Sure, I'll do almost anything for free French fries, but
you hear
we definitely
that?
Would have mentioned that it was in Brooklyn before this.
Yeah, who knows? Well, then we cut to Herbert walking in on LTW passed out on her desk.
Well, I do have to point out the very, very end of the previous scene where Scout realizes they forgot to order fries. And I know it's like a funny button of like, that's what I forgot, fries. And then they I don't know what they're trying to do. I think they're trying to just put their pizza on their plate, but it misses and like lands on the counter. And there's a moment where everyone like reacts to it and then it cuts. And it's just funny how like those little right. mistakes make it into a scene.
Yeah, I noticed Rock laughing at it and I could tell that that was not planned.
Yeah. So yes, Lisa is asleep at her desk and it's 8 o'clock. And Gabby had Lucky Charms for dinner.
Yum.
Yeah. And PBS is interested in turning her doc into a series. So she was working on the treatment.
And Herbert thinks that she's burning the candle at both ends.
Which they can't do anymore because they're old.
Right. And they're just talking back and forth. And she says, you know, I'm cranky when I wake up. And he's like, aha, so you were asleep.
Yes, Hercule Poirot. I was asleep. Blissfully dreaming, I was no longer a wife.
I said once again with the passive aggression, like there's so much like, I don't know, the way these couples are talking to each other in this episode, I'm like, this is deeply unhealthy.
To quote a review we once got, do these two even like each other?
And yeah, she was blissfully dreaming that she was no longer a wife or a mother. Okay.
All right.
And then she's getting ready for bed because Gabby already had dinner and she's exhausted and sort of, what about me? And you know where the cereal is.
Ouch. And then we cut to Naya having lots of segs while Miranda is trying to sleep. And this guy reminds me of a guy you would see in one of the original Sex and the City episodes, maybe Smith Jared.
Like, I was going to say, he definitely reminds me a bit of Smith Jared.
Yeah.
And I wrote, Miranda maybe needs to invest in a sound machine.
Miranda maybe needs to invest in like a different apartment.
That is very true. And I wrote, Naya is very happy. And I wrote, I've never made a noise like this in my life. So I was thinking about people who woohoo and those that don't. I'm just not a woohoo. Like they always like show like someone like having a drink and being like, woo! Like I've never done that ever in my entire life.
No.
Like there's never been an event where I've been like, yeah! Like, I just think it's funny. Like, do people really do this in real life?
The other day, it was the New York City Marathon. And people who had run the marathon were going up the escalator and these women were like woo-hooing at them. And I guess they're like cheering them on. But the same thing, like I would never think to be like, woo, look at you.
I sort of wish I was a woo-hoo, or maybe I should work on
whoop,
that.
Whoop. Yep.
That was me. For the record, this is Ryan McKenzie Fleming as Tinder guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Naya is loving all the unattachment. Like, oh, we just get to go on our phones now.
Yeah. And she gets to order great sex that shows up faster than her pad thai last night.
Okay.
And okay, here we go. I found it. I wrote. And then they're going to kind of give it away later. But we had a whole conversation about this vet. That was supposed to, once again, I feel like we're retconning a whole bunch of stuff. Because I swear when we first went to this vet, it was on the Upper East Side.
I feel like it was too, because that's where they were walking to get and found the animal.
And it was 3 blocks away was where they went to this vet.
Right.
But it's not. This is Bond Vet. It's on 10th and 45th. You can almost see the gluten-free restaurant across the street. It's the sister restaurant of the one we went to the day we had our photos taken way, way back in the very beginning of our podcast day.
Kudos us.
And then, oh gosh, just a box of kittens.
A box of kittens. Yep, Che is at work and someone brings in a box of kittens. They aren't an animal shelter, though, and the person is told to take the kittens to Angelical Cats on 49th Street, which I love because that is so clearly a cat's reference.
And this is real. This is an actual place.
Oh.
And I wrote, this is real, and then I just looked at cats for too long because they have, like, pictures of all the cats you can adopt, and I just scrolled for far too long.
Well, of course it's called the Angelical Cats in the Theater District. So, yeah.
Of course, yeah. And has anyone ever told you you look like that stand-up Che Diaz?
Yeah. Toby, as we find out their name is, thinks Che Diaz looks like Che Diaz and then finds out it is Che Diaz. In an act of flirting, Che tells Toby they'll just keep the kitties. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, you're not doing stand-up anymore and it's just some steady work to keep Che honest. And if you stop in again, I'll let you know about my gigs. Yeah, this is Alex Lugo. This is their first and only credit. For the record, they were on the Rent tour that our friend Annabelle was
I saw that.
Assistant company manager for.
I wasn't sure if they were on it when Annabelle was there or when we saw the tour.
And, you know, I haven't seen you flirt that hard since Alana Glazer brought her parakeet here.
Weird.
And so now they have to get a comedy set together and find the kittens a home. And I wrote, Carrie is home and oh my God, I can't deal with it. Look at that kitty face.
Yep. Carrie comes home and is greeted by Kitty. I love it.
Ugh, I can't even take it.
Che is trying to get Carrie to take the kitty. I said, if Carrie doesn't take the kitty, she is a monster.
And what's all that stuff? And it's new jokes and old jokes and they all suck. And they're doing stand-up again, but just to impress someone. I love Carrie's thing of like, why else would you do stand-up?
Right. And Che's trying to write a new comedy concert. And then Carrie tells Che about the scary letter, but Che already got an email and can almost live month to month. And then I said, Carrie is a monster who can't take the kitty. I just keep thinking that Carrie is a monster.
Yeah, Carrie can't have a kitten without a home.
Yeah, and Che wants to know what was so bad that Aiden can't come upstairs.
Nothing. Nothing was so bad that Aiden can't come upstairs. It's ridiculous. Wow. It's fine.
Mike has feelings.
So Seema and Ravi arrive to meet Aiden and Carrie. This is the restaurant where Carrie and Aiden first reunited?
No, this is a restaurant that's actually at the Tin Building.
Oh, okay.
Which is down in the South Street Seaport, which I've been to, and it's really beautiful. It's like a Jean Georges food hall concept.
I've walked by it many times. I've never been inside.
Yeah, and Seema and Ravi are there to meet Carrie and Aiden, and Aiden immediately geeks out because Ravi directed Nepal Kapow. No effing way.
Yeah. And this is actually based on the film RRR. That's kind of what they're referencing when they talk about the action sequences.
Okay.
Which is kind of a big sensation last year.
Yeah. And Ravi didn't know he was meeting people. Carrie didn't know that Seema was bringing someone. Seema really likes to keep everyone on their toes.
Yeah, it's very true. And basically just that part of his next movie is filming in New York. I don't know. This is, once again, I don't understand this storyline. Part of his film is filming in New York, so he's been looking for an apartment for a long time. Like, I just don't understand the concept of that. Like, is it filming months from now? Did it already film and you couldn't find the play? I don't know. It's very weird.
Mike is having a hard time.
I just can't wrap my brain around certain information we're getting in this episode that doesn't make any sense to me. And then Aiden has to text his boys. And yeah, I like Carrie, you know, didn't know Seema was bringing somebody and he's nobody. I'm like, well, he's sitting right there.
Yeah, rude.
And we get Anthony and Giuseppe walking home after Anthony's overcooked pasta. And this was another thing that took me a second where I'm like, wait, they were out to eat, but Anthony made undercooked pasta. And I think he's just referencing the pasta that he ate at a restaurant was overcooked.
Yeah, that's, I got that. Giuseppe wants to be invited inside, but Anthony says he moves slow. But Giuseppe says that five dinners with no dick is not very gay. And I agree with that.
It's true. That's true. Yeah. And yeah, we have him calling him Tony, which I do think is kind of funny.
And the excuse that he can't come up is because Stanford's name is on the lease and they aren't divorced. I forget this. I always forget that, like, Stanford is still living in the world of And Just Like That.
Yeah, he's still around and they're still married. And
yeah,
and he's old fashioned and he's going to help this old lady, but it's Edie and she's 57. She just stopped dyeing her hair.
Well, she has great hair.
And we have I Feel Pretty that plays as Anthony doesn't speak Italian and tells Maria to go home.
Because we've decided we're going to, if he's Tony, then Giuseppe's Maria.
Sure.
And Seema and Carrie are in the bathroom of the restaurant and Seema is just like, feel free to leave because Ravi is just for fun and not marriage material because she sees the women sliding into his DM. Not DMs.
Yeah, just the one DM.
Just the one DM.
And I guess this is just like the lady doth protest too much. Like, she's so aggressive in her like, this whole situation is ridiculous. You should just feel free to go. I'm like, everything's going fine. Like, you're just having dinner.
Well, and that's my confusion about Seema sometimes is because she has these Samantha-like experiences and does these crazy things, but then will be like, I've got the director, baby, and I've got, you know, I'll get the cast, too. You know, like, she doesn't... I don't know what she would say, but...
It's a really good Samantha.
It wasn't. But Seema, like, just... I don't know. Seema's kind of like a Miranda E. Samantha at times.
She's just sort of all over the place.
Yeah. And Carrie says she wants to sell her place. And then Seema has the perfect place, but it's too big for Carrie.
And, she, you know, Carrie's like, well, I do need more space. And is this about Ravi's new best friend out there? And, you know, partly, mostly. And now we're at the place and it's gorgeous.
Yeah. And then Carrie, Miranda, Charlotte, and Charlotte Sleeves come to see the apartment.
They said that purposefully, like, the three of them are sort of in their costumes.
Okay.
And perhaps a bit exaggerated, but like Carrie has the big flower.
Right.
And Miranda has the power suit. And Charlotte is very like artsy in her, I don't mean matronly in like an older way, but in like a, what am I trying to say? Like sort of over the top artistic dress that she has on.
And I do love Miranda's suit. It's like this moss green. It's really beautiful. And I love her bag too. She has this yellow clutch with like an interesting handle. And then Carrie, yes, has the Carrie flower, just something sensible to cover half her body. And she's telling the girl she's selling her apartment. And then her phone rings. Maybe it's Seema and she should make an offer. But it's not. It's Kathy, Aiden's ex-wife, and she wants to meet Carrie for coffee when she's in New York City for the fabric show.
That's not weird, is it?
I mean, we'll see. I thought this was going to go somewhere different than it actually does, so.
And Naya gets woken up by mysterious hands. It's Tinder guy, and I guess he stayed the night, and there's morning sex and Miranda needing to get into the bathroom. And I actually don't know how this would work. This seems like a bad setup.
Yeah, and I didn't really know what was happening here. That I was like, Miranda's in a towel, probably trying. I thought at first maybe she wanted to knock to let Naya know I'm going to be using the shower. But she's very afraid of the seg sounds. And then Naya does some really intense top work. And then we realize the only bathroom is in Naya's bedroom.
And this was just to get, because we had established that Naya lives very close to Miranda's old house.
Right.
So it's to get her back into her house for her to walk up the stairs as Lily emerges from Brady's room without pants on and does a, hi, Aunt Miranda.
And so she calls Charlotte, and Charlotte knew Lily stayed because they had a lot to talk about. But Miranda thinks they hooked up. Gross, Miranda.
And Charlotte says what very loudly?
Yes.
And she had texted, she was sleeping on the couch, but she wasn't wearing pants. And now we go to Chipotle, and Charlotte cannot imagine it happening.
And first of all, Mike, if Mr. Big was still with us, our dreams could have come true, and we could have very likely had a Mr. Big goes to Chipotle. But we don't.
Could have happened.
We don't. We have Miranda and Charlotte goes to Chipotle.
And when did the pants come off?
and also, Miranda orders tacos, which I rarely see people do at Chipotle. It's usually always a bowl or a burrito.
I think that every time I go to Chipotle, I think, I'm going to do tacos this time, because they actually do make really good tacos there. And then I never, ever do.
That's what I'm saying.
I always get a bowl.
There's something in the air. You think you're going to get them, and then it zaps it out of you and says, no, you can't. And he didn't tell her guac was extra, by the way. He didn't.
That is true.
And also, he doesn't want to hear about your kids' segscapades. None of us want to hear about your kids' segscapades.
And I do like that she starts with the steak and then decides that she should try the plant-based stuff. It's pretty good, actually.
Yeah, it is good. I like it.
What look does she have on her face? The look of a teenager who was just caught having sex. Yeah, guacamole, salsa, cheese, no rice. And I think it's, we have kind of a funny mom moment of like, Brady's not even her type. And, you know, what's that supposed to mean?
Also, they didn't ask if she wanted mild, medium, or hot for the salsa.
Yeah, they're definitely not following the Chipotle rules.
No. I just thought maybe they would have, since it looks like an actual Chipotle with actual Chipotle staff and uniforms.
Once again, there's some weird information
given
and not
given. There's
some
weird stuff happening here that we need to talk to the writers about this.
And Miranda brings up the rub off on him again. And I'm like, okay, now we're really underlying.
Yeah, you two are gross.
And Charlotte has no appetite. And now we have Charlotte talking to Harry. And if it happened, what does that mean? But Harry's much more concerned about the caterer pushing pigs in blankets.
Yeah, and Charlotte is doing some really aggressive hair brushing while talking.
She's just brushing it.
Yeah.
Like, what is she doing?
Those brushes are very expensive that she's using, though. They're like hundreds of dollars. Yeah, and Charlotte thinks that Lily and Brady would have beautiful redheaded Chinese Jewish babies.
Yes. But Miranda would be the mother-in-law. But what if they get close and Charlotte feels left out? We have a lot of spinning.
Yeah, but Harry's just concerned about whether they would need a coat rack in the spring.
Nobody knows! So we're at the party. We get to this party very quickly.
Yeah, where is LTW? There's past hors d'oeuvres. Hate it.
Yeah, past hors d'oeuvres. I don't know what to say about past hors d'oeuvres. They're not as bad as past drinks, but they're still pretty aggravating.
Yeah.
And we get Sis and Cy Hoffman, Elena Bromka. Oh, for the record, she was Dr. Finch in the episode Evolution in season two, I think it was.
She was the one that told Miranda she had a lazy ovary.
Yes. And yeah, where's that wife that Charlotte keeps raving about? She's held up at work and, you know, they have to make the rounds and she spits out the dumpling because it's too good.
Yeah, it's too good. She's not sure if it's kosher. She's worried.
And Charlotte asks Carrie if she's met Anthony's poet. And Brady is here. Are you here to see Lily or Rock or Lillianne Rock?
And yeah, you can tell right away that Aunt Carrie is the cool aunt. And then Miranda and Charlotte tell Carrie that they think Brady and Lily maybe having sex, and Carrie is like, whoa.
That's like finding out that two of her stuffed animals are having sex.
Yeah, very weird. Thank you, though, Carrie, for being the voice of reason.
And then Mark Kasabian is here. I love that he used to date a woman in 2F, and Charlotte knows her. And we get to Naya and Tinder Guy on their phones in bed. And, you know, this is where Naya comes across a picture of her ex.
Yeah, and she sees Andre Rashad and his new girl, who is pregnant. And then a little bit of timeline stuff for me. I guess, how long has it been? Was she pregnant before they got the divorce? I'm not sure.
Because this is Heidi in the hat, right?
I think so.
Yeah. And she says that, you know, Tinder Guy should go now.
Yeah.
He takes it pretty well.
Yeah, Tinder Guy, DGAF. And then we get to Carrie and Anthony hugging below the dog portraits.
Yeah, Carrie has a very large drink that I don't think she would ever drink, but okay, maybe she's going to nurse that one. And she sees Anthony and is excited to meet the poet and don't get attached because he's ending it because he's not going to be played because he's just after a green card.
And then Giuseppe does come over and gives Anthony a beautiful plate of snacks and then judges Charlotte's paintings. Rude.
And I wrote, Anthony is rude and walks away. Yeah, and we have Harry confronting Charlotte about Mark being into her. I don't know how to feel about this.
Yeah, he thinks Mark Kasabian is into her. She says no, he's into blondes, which is just a way for us to cut to him talking to Carrie.
And have you ever been married? And
yeah.
Was your divorce as classically awful as his first, second, and soon to be third? And I guess this is to balance. This is to balance last week. This is the whole question of, like, was Big a big mistake? And what they kind of wanted to do with this scene was give us the counter argument that no, he wasn't a big mistake.
Okay, well, that makes sense.
It ended far too soon.
Yeah, that makes sense, because I was confused. I wrote that Carrie,
I was also confused.
Carrie is talking about her wonderful marriage, but didn't she just say it was a big mistake?
Yeah, this was purposefully the writers kind of wanting to give some props to the relationship and kind of counter-argue as to whether it had been a mistake or not. Hmm. And then we have Charlotte and Miranda. I said they're casing Brady and Lily in the kitchen.
Yeah, they're spying on Lily and Brady, but not really spying because they're in the same room as them. And then they get caught because they are dumb. And they're like, these breadsticks are great.
I'm so glad we came in to get these breadsticks. Yeah, it's pretty silly, but it's funny. It's a funny little scene. And we cut to a sleeping Lisa awoken by Herbert's call. She fell asleep and people are already leaving the party.
Yeah, she says she's getting in the car. She's very, very late.
And there's a lot of cut. This is apparently this is called a block scene. And it's sort of where you have a scene where many people are involved and it keeps cutting from one thing to the next to the next. Because now we get to Giuseppe asking if there's a reason why Anthony keeps walking away. And we have some 90 Day Fiancé talk. I've never seen this program before.
All right. Well, 90 Day Fiancé, I believe, is when you're engaged for 90 days. And a lot of it, I think, is like international stuff. Maybe?
Yeah, I think it's a lot of like long distance relationships.
Yeah.
He references like season 35. There are only 10 seasons, but I get the joke.
Yeah. And he confronts him pretty much about the green card. And Giuseppe says he has dual citizenship.
Because his mother was born in Buffalo. I like his Italian accent. Saying the word Buffalo is good.
And then Miranda and Charlotte want to catch Lily and Brady. They think they're outside the room, and then they open the door and it's empty. But it's not, because Anthony and Giuseppe are making out behind the door, sans pants.
Yeah, and Lily and Brady are returning from Pizza from Roma, which is on 88th and 3rd. It is right around there.
Yeah, yeah. I looked that up, and I was wondering, because I feel like it just reopened. I remember passing by it, and it was like the new original Roma. So I don't know if they had a previous location, maybe.
Oh, yeah, I don't know either. And, I think that we finally get to, like, some sense here. Where Charlotte's kind of like, maybe I don't want to know. And that she had a lot of sex that her mother never knew about. And that's kind of my feeling, too. Like, maybe your kid's hooked up. Maybe just don't stress about it so much.
Yeah, quit being pervs.
Yeah. And Lisa's here, and Harry's introducing. And I get it. I get that the tension of the scene is that, like, he's about to go on, and they're having the conversation in the background. I am very much like, just talk about this later. Like, right. Why are you arguing about this right before you're going to get up there and talk? Yeah. And that she's not passive-aggressive. She's pregnant.
See, Mike? That's why there's passive aggression happening. You need to be more sensitive.
I guess so. I was just like, this is all... Because now Harry can't talk. And I'm like, I'm not voting for this guy. He can't even... He knew he had to give a speech and now he can't even talk. Why would I vote for this guy?
Well, he can't talk because his wife just told him he was pregnant.
I don't know that. I'm in a room where the wife was late and he's not talking now.
Well, Herbert needs to collect his thoughts, and Sis is doing her due diligence to warn everyone of the dumplings.
So now we're at La Mercerie at the Guild. This is Mercer and Howard. And it's funny because I've definitely walked by this 100 times.
Well, Carrie is walking up there to meet Kathy. Kathy played Fern in a Hop, Skip, and a Week episode of Sex and the City, which is the scene with Miranda meeting her boss to discuss her future because she's pregnant. Also, Kathy in real life is married to Berger.
Yeah, it's funny because when I first... Because I love Rosemary DeWitt. Like, I've been a fan of hers for, like, many years. And it's funny how when she popped up in this scene, I actually wrote the note of, I'm so excited they finally found a way to give her a role on this show. And then I didn't even remember that she had played Fern, which is bizarre because I know that scene. I know this actress. And for some reason, it didn't even click in my mind that it was the same person, which doesn't make any sense whatsoever.
Well, it was a very small part.
It was, but, like, memorable. Anyway, I just thought it was funny that, like, I didn't even put this together. Yeah, because here she's Kathy, and she sees Carrie first, and she was sure she was early, but Kathy still beat her.
It's just very interesting to me that in real life, she's married to Berger, and in the show, she's divorced from Aiden. So...
Right, that she's playing a character who Carrie is dating a fictional husband. Yeah,
yeah. And she's...
There are lots of meta twists and turns
yeah,
here.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And Kathy said she read Carrie's book, and... how she weaves in her personal life and asks that she not write about her boys, even if they give her material, because they will, especially their little puzzle Wyatt. And in this moment, I said, okay, clearly Wyatt will be a problem.
Right. We're building up something with Wyatt here. And Carrie sort of brings up the new apartment, and Kathy doesn't want to overstep, but she knows the history with Aiden, and you can't hurt him again. It's not just Aiden now.
Well, and in this moment, I thought... why hasn't a waiter come to the table to see if Carrie wants anything? And then Carrie says, do we have a waiter? See, I am on top of it. Even when I'm not at work, I notice things, and I notice when things are being done incorrectly.
And it's a counter order situation, and there's a black tea ready for me.
Oh.
If you listen, it says, Michael, there's a black tea ready.
And you're like, okay, and you walked away from the TV and stopped taking notes.
Exactly. So that's where my notes end. No. We have Carrie walking to the new place with Aiden. And it comes with the key to the park. So this is when because I had the thought when they were inside. I was like, even just through the window, this looked like the Gramercy Park area to me.
Yeah. So Gramercy Park is one of two private parks in New York City, I believe. And you have to have a key to enter and exit the park. And they're given to the residences around the area. I don't know if every person who lives in the building get a key? I don't really know the rules.
No. So there are currently 383 numbered and coded keys to this park for the four different wrought iron gates. The private park is 182 years old, just for the record. And there are 39 buildings on the park that pay a yearly fee. And about half of the keys are actually held by either the doorman or the concierge and are signed out. There's a whole huge article that I actually find really fascinating. And in fact, my friend Courtney used to have a key.
Oh, wow.
She used to live, yeah, in this neighborhood. So you can pay extra to have your own key, though there are only a certain number. In general, you would go to the doorman and sign out the key. And yeah, they change the locks every year. So every year there are new keys made. It's sort of fascinating. I've never been inside before. And yeah, so we see the apartment from the outside and it has a front porch. This is Gramercy Park West, for the record. Like, there's only one place this list looks like. And we kind of have, like, there's plenty of room for you and three other Virginians you might want to bring.
Yeah, and Carrie is showing the new place to Aiden and he's just yelling in it.
Yeah, well, he likes the echo.
Yeah, and now he says she doesn't have to get rid of her old place. I'm confused.
Well, it has to be her decision. And
right.
I guess that I do get that. Yeah.
Well, and then he's saying, you have to be sure. Are you sure? And in this moment, I'm thinking, okay, I don't think this is so much about the apartment. He's talking about himself.
But also, you know, Gramercy Park is very different from your old neighborhood. And this is where Carrie brings up, Kathy told me I can never hurt you again.
Right.
What?
I wasn't planning on telling you, but what do you think about that?
Man, I gotta have a talk with her. I never say anything about her boyfriend.
Aiden, no. What do you think about that?
I think that this is now. Different time, different place. I mean, are you gonna hurt me? Of course. And I'll hurt you and we'll mix it up and we'll get pissy, but we'll work it out. Right? Because life is short, right? We deserve to be happy. That's what I think.
That's how I feel.
And he's gonna miss his flight.
Why is everyone always missing their flights? All the time. If he doesn't leave 30 seconds ago, well, you didn't. So you're gonna miss your flight.
Yeah, Mike Jensen gets very stressed about missing a flight and booking a flight and everything about
always,
travel.
Yeah, just always missing their flights on everything. And
she still doesn't let him go. She has to go in for another kiss. And we get back to her old stoop as Lizette is just leaving and the gay guys she subluts from are moving back to New York.
Yeah, I love that that's the descriptor of the people.
Yeah, just the gay guys.
The gay guys. Yeah, she's doing terrible. Can you imagine anyone wanting to leave this place? And this is going to be a niche reference, and I never make those. In the musical Grey Gardens, there's a moment where, and I think it's the end of Act One, where Christine Ebersole is like, could you imagine anyone wanting to leave? And I thought of that.
And, you know, Carrie calls Seema, and she's sure.
Yeah.
And just like that, I went up the stairs of my old apartment without looking back.
I think you look back because it's not the last time you ever left. And also in this moment, I was like, oh, I think something's going to happen where she rents the apartment to Lizette. More will be revealed.
Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of it. I don't know. I feel like I just had issues with certain storytelling and certain things that I didn't understand what they were getting at or like things they were trying to say that I feel like we've established aren't true.
We've talked about this before, but I think that they don't expect two people to be sitting at home and like dissecting everything.
But in 2023, you really should.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. I guess I couldn't help but wonder who these gay guys are.
I couldn't help but wonder where Scout is. I don't understand it. Like, did they move it? Is it a franchise? Maybe there's more than one location now.
Yeah, who knows?
So there you go. All right. Another episode down where we're ramping up to the end here.
Yikes. Just two more?
Two more.
And they have been renewed.
They are coming back for a third season. They're already at work on scripts. Yeah. That's all we'll say because who knows where we are in time?
Who knows where we are in time or place or anything, but we'll see you soon.
Certainly be back.
All right.
Later.
Bye.
Bye.
You can subscribe to our new Patreon-only podcast, We Couldn't Help But Wonder, Still Wondering, right now! For more information, like us on Facebook and follow us on Instagram at We Couldn't Help But Wonder with no caps, no spaces, and no punctuation, and Twitter at WCHBW Podcast. And don't forget to check out my new podcast with Vanya Arslanian, Mike and Vanya Can't Not. You can follow Elise at Evie Castle and me at MikeJensen77. We would love if you would share this podcast with someone, put up a link or tell a friend. Take a moment and rate us on Apple Podcasts, or even better, write a review there. Most importantly, let's all take care of each other. Up next, The Last Supper Part 1, Appetizer.
So we get how old 14 is. Or no, wait, we get how old Wyatt is. And 14 yeah. is 14 years. And she says, you know, I'm cranky when I wake up. And he's like, aha, so you were asleep. And then she says, yes, I'm going to mispronounce it now. Hercule Poirot.
Hercule Poirot.
Yeah. And Giuseppe wants to be inside it.
Well said, well spoken.
I short-circuited. But Giuseppe says that five dicks
are never enough.
But Giuseppe says, yeah, I think sometimes
I want to make that into
we've talked about this before, but I think that